Now tonight, we're on lesson 22, and concerning Joash, and the title is Joash, the Royal Seed Preserved. And that sort of, if you don't remember anything, remember that this about him. Now Joash is one of the most unusual characters in the Word of God. If you've ever heard of him, you probably didn't pay much attention to him. But he's very vital in a link in the line of Christ. And that's why that we'll be studying it tonight. The word Joash means Jehovah supports or hastens to help or Jehovah has given. That's a good name, isn't it? And as I've already mentioned, the reason we're studying this character was chosen by the editor of these lessons is because he is a very significant person in the line of Christ. Now, if you're like me, all these kings, you've got kings all up here in northern Israel, you've got kings in southern Israel, and they run into each other and they're confusing at times. So when you try to put them all together a lot of times and get them straight, it's impossible. But just keep in mind now that or listen, I don't know where you keep it in mind or not, but Joash was a son of Ahaziah. Ahaziah was a son of Jehoram, and his wife Athaliah. And then when King Ahaziah of Judah was killed by Jehu, king of the northern kingdom, then Ahaziah's mother, Athaliah, rose up and destroyed all of the royal seed and who were heirs to the throne, the seed of David, in the line of David, destroyed them all but one. She murdered all of the boys, all of the seed except one, and that was Joash. Then let's just mention a little bit about this wicked queen who usurped the throne of Judah. And she has a very sick, ungodly family heritage. And the farther you go back in her heritage, the worse it gets. I mean, you go back, she's bad enough to start with, and you go back to Jezebel and Ahab and right on back, quite a sick heritage, spiritually, and ungodly. I'm glad for the godly heritage that I have. And if you have a godly heritage, you ought to thank God. Where you were brought up in a home where they believed the Bible and believed in holy living and taught you while you were in the home to act right and do right and treat people right and try to please God and love the church and love the things of the Lord and love this old Bible. If you have that kind of heritage, you are blessed of God. And my folks were poor people. But they had character, and they loved God. And that's the most important. Had character and loved God. Everything else is secondary. Now, look at 2 Kings 8, 9. In tonight, if you have these markers in your Bible, turn to 2 Kings and put a marker between chapter 10 and 11. And then if you have a piece of paper, mark that. And then you might as well go ahead and find 2 Kings. It's in the Old Testament. And it's page 434 in your Scofield Reference Bible. And then turn over to 2 Chronicles 24 and mark that place. Because I'm going to be going back and forth between these two books here. 2 Kings 10 and 2 Chronicles 24. So let's get right to it. First of all, 2 Kings 8, 19. Well, I want you to see something here. You look right at it. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David. Now here, don't miss this. For David, his servant's sake, as he promised him, as God promised David, to give him always a light to his children. That is, God wasn't going to let the house of David and his heirs be destroyed. There was going to always be a light, a seed in the line of David. So God, and there's other places we could turn to, but God's promise to David is very clear. His family line would continue. Now you need to keep that in mind. The whole this entire lesson is based on God's promise to David that he would have a light, that his family line would continue. There's other verses that teach that. Psalms 132:17 does. We won't turn to that. We'll go right on into this lesson. What the Old Testament teaches about or says about Joash. Now in 2 Kings 11:1. Now, I didn't read. It said you just read Psalm 132:17. It says there's going to be, David is going to have a light. And his generations would not cease. He'd always have someone to inherit the throne, on the throne. But the lamp of David was almost extinguished, and yet it's wonderfully preserved. Now, look at 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. So here is a grandmother filled with hatred and malice after her husband was killed, and then her son was killed, and then her husband was killed, and she's filled now with malice and hatred, and this wicked grandmother was married to Jehoram, who killed all his brothers, and we won't turn to that. And the Arabians killed all of Jehoram's sons except Ahaziah. So we see blood and royal blood being shed everywhere in this passage here. And then Jehoram, the husband of Athaliah, died of stomach disease just like the prophet Elijah said. So the hand of God was against him. And this left the throne open. And when Ahaziah died, and then this queen mother, this grandmother, then assumed the throne. And when she did, she tried to wipe out all of the line of the kings of Judah. She tried to kill them all. And she murdered the royal seed, trying to destroy the line of David, because she knew that God had promised to perpetuate the line of David. So what she was doing, she was fighting the Lord God of heaven, which is a losing battle. Now, I can understand these grandmothers and grandfathers. I mean, they carry on about those precious little grandchildren, and they have a right to. And they're always, I just happen to have their pictures, and you have to say, oh, it's beautiful. But yeah, now, here's a grandmother. Instead of bragging about all of her grandchildren, she kills all of them. Wanted to kill every one of them. But God in his providence spared one. Look at turn over to 2 Chronicles now. And look at verse 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 7. And we see what the Bible says about this wicked lady. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 7. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman. God's word calls her a wicked, that wicked woman. That's quite a title for a woman to have. That wicked woman. And brother, in this day in which we live, there are a lot of wicked women and wicked men around. I remember when I was a boy that there was wicked men, but there wasn't very many wicked women. But today you can't say that. There are just about as many wicked women around today as are wicked men. Women that don't know how to blush. They're not modest, not feminine, rough, crude, vile. And so, young ladies, be feminine and be pure and be ladylike. That's the way God wants you to be. Now, I still believe a lady ought to be a lady and a man a man. Hallelujah. Well, don't get me off on that. Now, you get me preaching here. And I'm trying. I got a lesson I got to teach and don't have just a few minutes left on. But that wicked woman had broken up the house of God. Also, all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. So she was a wicked person. Now keep in mind, these people, as I said, these names do get confusing. But Jehoshaphat, now, you see here these names, let me mention just a minute. He was a good king. But he got to running around with the wicked kings of northern Israel. And because he buddy-budded with the kings of the north, then it threw his families into social fellowship. And his son, Jehoram, married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. So you've got to watch the crowd, folks, you run around with. Mom and Dad, you've got to watch your friends. Because if you make friends with a family that's ungodly, your kids may marry into that family. I'd watch my social contacts. They'll affect your children. And then Jehoram, as I said, married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and they had a son, Ahaziah, who was killed, and when he was killed, then grandma assumes the throne as queen of Judah, killed all the legal heirs except Joash, and he's the one we want to look at just briefly here tonight. Notice in 2 Kings 11, 2 and 3, that the line of David was preserved by Jehosheba, the dead king Jehoram's sister, and the aunt of the little baby Joash. Look at 2 Kings 11, verse 2 now. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. So there's only one child in David's line that was not killed. If he'd have been wiped out, God's word would not have been true. But God, you know, we can count on God keeping his word. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God still on the throne. Hallelujah. And if you're his child, he's promised to take care of you. And his promise is true. And God's word won't fail. Somehow, if you are true to him and look to him, somehow, some way, God's going to see you through. And it's amazing how God can see you through, isn't it? It's amazing the ways God has. He has a lot of arrows in his quiver. I mean, it's amazing how God can take care of us. But he can. And it's amazing here how God kept his promise to David that his light wouldn't go out. And by the way, it has not gone out to this day. Did you know that? The light has not gone out. I'll get on that in just a minute here. Now where was I? But anyway, God kept his promise. And just as his eye was on little Moses in the bulrushes, his eye was on little Joash. And God wasn't about to let that blister, that sister, get a hold of him. God in heaven stopped her from getting little Joash. And then notice in verse 3, and notice where he was hidden. He was hid with her in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. So he was under God's special care and protection in the house of the Lord. Now, I think that Jehosheba is one of the great heroines, unsung heroines of the Word of God. A godly, faithful lady. I appreciate the godly, faithful women he's given us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I thank God for it. God's given us some fine ladies. We need more godly, faithful handmaidens of the Lord at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we need more godly, faithful men at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. A wonderful thing, a godly, modest, pure, faithful lady. I think it's one of the greatest things in the faith theory. And then a Holy Ghost godly man is a wonderful thing. Then, now the seed of David would have been broken and the God's promises would not have been true if she had got to this little Joash. And so God preserved little Joash for 6 long years in the temple. And you say, preacher, is that important? It's very, 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 very important. Notice the quote here in the lesson by A.C. Gabeline, a great teacher of a day gone by. It is one of the many attempts of Satan. See, Satan was in this lady fighting the line of Christ, the coming Redeemer, right here. It is one of the many attempts Satan made to exterminate the male offspring to make the coming, capital O-N-E, that's Christ, the promised Savior, the seed of the woman, impossible. So if Satan had cut off Joash, it would have hindered the line of Christ, the coming of Jesus Christ. God was not about to let Satan do that. Hallelujah. Had he succeeded through Athaliah in the destruction of the royal seed of David, the promise made to David would have become impossible. But God saw that. Satan didn't touch him. So little Joash, now here he is. Little Joash is in hiding. He's in hiding, the only seed of David left to carry on the line of David down to Christ. He's in hiding. God kept him in hiding till he put him on the throne. Do you realize, folks, tonight, that we're in the same predicament tonight that Israel or Judah was in chapter 11 of 2 Kings? Do you know that tonight there is only one heir of David alive? But you know what? He's safely tucked away in hiding. Where is he hiding tonight? God's got him right there on his right hand on his throne tonight. God's watching over the only seed of David that's heir to the throne of David tonight. Who is he? He's Jesus, the Son of David and the Son of God. So folks, God's promised to David that your light will never go out. You'll always have a lamp. See, it never has gone out. It looked a little shaky at times, but it hadn't gone out. They killed Jesus, the seed of David, and all the other seed, as far as we know, nobody can prove it's the seed of David tonight, except one, and that's Jesus. So the light has not gone out and never will go out. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the preparation for the presentation of Joash. Now, the wicked queen Athaliah reigned 6 years. Now it's time for God's king to come to the throne. In 2 Kings 11, we see this in verses 4 through 11. We see now in verse 4 a very serious, dangerous, subversive effort about to take place by the good priest Jehoiada. Look at 2 Kings 11, verse 4. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard and brought them to him in the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. So what he did, he brought the leaders, military men, religious and civil officers into the house of the Lord, and he made a covenant with them, and he told them the secret that, and he swore them to secrecy. And you know what he did? He brought out little Joash and set him before all of these leaders of Judah who thought the line of David was gone. No one will ever sit on the throne of David. His line is gone. And Jehoiada said, gentlemen, praise be to the name of the Lord. I'm glad to tell you that this little boy was kept safely from the murderous Athaliah, and he is the seed of David. And I know they were absolutely amazed. They thought the line of David had been wiped out. And I'm sure it blessed their hearts. Here before them, a little six-year-old boy, the seed of David. And so now they planned a revolution in Judah. Overthrow the queen and the government. And establish God's man, the seed of David, a little boy, on the throne. So they planned it well. They wanted no mistakes. We see in verses 4 through 11, they put people in, I don't have time to read it, in everybody in the right place. And then in verse 12, little Joash was presented. Jehoiada brought forth the king's son. And they made a quick coronation of this young king. Look at verse 12, 2 Kings 11, verse 12. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him. That is the kingly power given him. And gave him the testimony. What? They gave him the Bible, the Word of God. What better thing can they give the king to guide his life and his reign than the Word of God? And then they made him king. They anointed him, let's see. And anointed him. The spiritual sign of God's blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Made him king. Then they clapped their hands. Was a sign of the joy and relief from the wicked king Athaliah. And they said, God save the king. That meant they owned him as their king. And they had to do this fast. Why? Because the wicked queen, there was opposition coming from her. And then look at the opposition in verses 13 through 16. The queen mother heard all the commotion and she ran into the house of God. First time she'd been to church in many years probably. You know, folks, when people start getting away from God, what's one of the first things they start doing? They start laying out of church, don't they? And when they start getting away from God, they don't want to have anything to do with the house of God. They think maybe they might catch the plague or might catch AIDS or something, the way they act, if they go to the house of God. No, see, when you lose out with God, you have no desire to go to His house. But now here she is running in the house of God where they've anointed and made little Joash king. Look at verses 13 and 14. And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she had looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king and all the people who had rejoiced blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. And then Jehoiada ordered, we can see in verses 15 and 16, them to take her outside the temple. Don't kill her in the house of God. Take her outside. Look at verse 15. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said to them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her killed with the sword. For the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way, by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there she was slain. Then notice the reign of Joash in 2 Kings 12. There was great peace and revival followed this. And then we look at the reign of Joash in 2 Kings 12. Verse 1, we see that he was 7 years old when he began to reign. And then in verse 2, we see a great lesson. Look at verse 2. And Joash, here's another spelling for Joash, Jehoash, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Notice, all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So parents, it's a great lesson for us. Children do well when they're under the right influence. We need to get our children under the right influences. Now the most important thing, work of Joash, of his reign, he repaired the temple. And that's over in 2 Chronicles 24, 7 through 14. I don't have time to read that tonight. And then we see the death of the great priest Jehoiada in 2 Chronicles 24, 15 and 16. Now, as long as Jehoiada lived, the reign of Joash was good. But when Jehoiada died, the bottom fell out. Look at verse 2 Chronicles 24, verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. So a great man passed away, a great godly man, had a great influence. Now, the king now was about 30 years of age. He ought to have been able to be a good king now. He was had good tutoring. But we see that he becomes a weak leader. He listened to idolatrous princes, and they abandoned the worship of God, went into idol worship. God sent them prophets, and they would not hear them. Look at verses 17 through 19. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. So Joash had wrong friends and listened to the wrong advice. And these two things led to disaster. And folks and young people, these two things will lead us to disaster. First of all, the wrong friends and listening to the wrong advice. Notice that Jerusalem was threatened by the king of Syria, and Joash stripped the temple of all the treasure and tried to buy off the Syrian king. We see that in 2 Kings. Turn back to 2 Kings, chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. Well, I won't even read that because time's running away. Do we see there the kingdom started going down? But I want you to turn back to 2 Chronicles 24, verses 20 through 22. For one of the most dastardly, ungrateful acts I have found in the Word of God, other than the crucifying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Now, Israel had gone into sin. They were worshiping other gods. The good priest Jehoiada had died. Apostasy had set in. God's blessing was off his people. Then look at verse 20. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said to them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment, notice, of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. I can't believe it. Jehoiada had done so much good for Joash, and yet he conspires against his good son led them in stoning him to death. Notice the prophecy in the latter part of verse 22 that fell from the lips of this dying prophet of God, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. Now that wasn't hatred. That wasn't, say, the Lord revenge my death. He'll get even with you, sorry characters. No, what he's saying is a prophecy here. This is a prophecy. The Lord will look upon it and require it. God's hand of judgment is going to fall. And it did fall. And that's a prophecy that was fulfilled in the next few verses. I want you to see that how that God will not allow people to go in sin and persecute His prophets. Notice in verses 23 and 24, and it came to pass at the end of the year, just at the end of the year, God's hand of judgment started falling, that the host of Syria came up against him. So Joash is in bad trouble. He turned against God and slew the prophet of God. And that year, they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. Notice this. Notice verse 24. And the army of the Syrians came with a small company. Just a small company. See, when God turns against you, folks, you're in trouble. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care who you are. Or how much money you have. Or how much influence you have. Brother, when God turns to be your enemy, you're in trouble. Notice, but the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand. Why? Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. Now that was against the country. Now let's see what God, the hand of God's judgment fell on Joash. Look at verse 25. He is smitten with disease, and then, brother, he is murdered. Verse 25. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David. But they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Because he was so wicked, they wouldn't even bury him with the kings. And then verse 27, latter part of verse 27, Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, I've skipped over a lot of this tonight because I couldn't divide it up into two lessons. It had to be one story of how God kept the family line of David intact. Now, let me say this in closing. The death of Joash is sad. He began in the spirit. He ended in the flesh. And folks, the sin is always a downward spiral. People say, well, I'm saved and the Lord's going to take care of me and nothing's going to ever happen to me. Folks, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Just think that everything's going to be okay regardless what you do. You let down your guard and you can fall. There's not a person in this building that can't fall into sin and destroy your testimony and ruin yourself. Not a person. This preacher, nor you, nor no one else. The preacher we took the offering for tonight, a sad case. A man that's saved. I don't doubt he's saved. I don't doubt he's a man of God. But a preacher can't play loose with sin. God will expose him. And God will expose you. And your fall will be surely. If you try to play loose with sin, and great will be the fall, don't kid yourself. And it breaks my heart to even have to mention that. But I wanted to mention to encourage you to live right and stay true to Jesus Christ. Love the Lord. Love His people. Love His preachers. Stay in church. Stay in you. There's no way, young people, there's no way you're going to live right if you don't lead that. And by the way, moms and dads, there's no way you're going to live right if you don't stay in that book right there every day. There's no way. I don't care. I don't care who you are. You neglect that book, you're going to go down spiritually. Stay in the book. Stay in church Every time the door's open, you ought to be in church. I feel so sorry. Now, this is a good prayer meeting crowd. This is a good crowd here tonight. But where are all these people on Sunday? Where are they on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Where are they? Folks, many of them are going to fall spiritually. And you can fall spiritually too if you start neglecting the Word, start neglecting the house of God. Here's a man known all across America, but he played Luther's sin 12, 14 years ago. And he's ruined tonight. How sad. How sad. So stay in the Word. Pray every day. Pray about everything. Nothing too big or nothing too little that you shouldn't pray. Pray about everything. And then shun all appearance of evil. I mean hate sin. Get the attitude of God towards sin. Hate sin. Hate everything God hates. Love everything God loves. You'll fall. You'll fall. I will too. If I start playing loose with sin. Now wouldn't it be sad if some of us, I've been saved for over 40 years. You think that insulates me against sin? No, it doesn't. It sure doesn't. And you can be saved. Some of you here probably, I'm not going to ask how many have been saved 50 years because so many of you, but I'll guarantee you that being saved 50 years doesn't insulate you from sin. You neglect the Word and get out of the will of God and start playing loose with the flesh and you can fall. I don't care who you are. So folks, we've got to stay daily at this thing of living for Jesus Christ. Now I realize I believe in the eternal security of the believer, but I believe also that a Christian can wreck their testimony and lose their influence and be put on the shelf because of sin. So shun all appearance of evil. The Word of God says, hey folks, the devil's out there in the wings. He's around the next corner seeking whom he may devour. We're no match for the devil. The only way we can fight the devil is put on the whole armor of God and get the book. Brother, use that book. Get in that Word. Fill your soul with the Word of God. And cut the devil. You can go to work on the devil with the Word of God. That book, the devil hates the Word of God. Get in that book. And it will happen to you unless you make up your mind, I'm going to live right. I'm going to stay in the book. I'm going to pray. I'm going to shun all appearance of evil. And by God's grace, I'm going to be faithful all the days of my life till Jesus calls me home. I want to be faithful. I want to die true to Jesus Christ. Don't you? Don't you want to stay true to Jesus, folks? Here's a king for years and years and years under the influence of a godly man. And then when he died, he got in the wrong crowd, wound up, God smote him with disease and killed him because he became an idol worshiper. I want to stay true till Jesus calls me home. Let's sing. What is that? I'll be true, precious Jesus. I'll be true. Let's sing that. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. I'll be true, precious Jesus, I'll be true. There's a race to be run. There's a victory to be won. Every hour by thy power, I'll be true. And if you don't mean that, you'll fall. If you can't sing that with a desire in your heart, Lord, I don't want to fall into sin, hurt my testimony, hurt the cause of Christ. Every day, just keep yourself true. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay in the Word. Pray for God's help and grace to hedge you about. And just stay true till the trumpet sounds or the death angel comes after you. And then and have an abundant entrance in the kingdom of God. Folks, the world, the flesh, and the devil is not worth it. Young people, the world, the flesh, and the devil is attractive to you. But listen, the greatest life is to live for Jesus Christ. Let's stand and be dismissed to prayer.